During the summers, this particular summer, between kindergarten and first grade, we enrolled our son Evan in the local neighborhood swim team, as many parents do, making sure that they can swim. And Mr. First word out of his mouth was ball, was into anything that showed his athletic ability. At that time, I was self-employed and fortunate enough to spend the summers with him. Evan had a natural affinity for swimming and enjoyed spending his warm summer afternoons at the pool. However, swim lessons for five-year-olds was 8 a.m. on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. As you might expect, the cold water at that early hour was not enjoyable, and I heard complaint after complaint after complaint, and he often expressed his displeasure and insisted that he disliked the swim team and he wanted to quit. We, like many parents, adhere to the principle that commitments must be honored. You finish what you started. If you don't want to do it again, fine, but you finish what you started. We explained to Evan that if he wished to stop participating, he would need to complete the season first and then decide about his future participation. He persevered. I took a lot from him that summer. Finding enjoyment in the swim meets, and he found it to be very challenging, and he was very talented. In fact, he would go on to win the county level backstroke competition for his age group. And we went to the Georgia Tech pool, the Olympic pool, the like overwhelming, make you jitter when you're a five-year-old swimmer pool. Evan completed that season, and they concluded our experience with swim team, and that was it. Never on swim team again. Humans have been described as aqua bodies. Such a description is not without justification. First of all, the human body is 65 to 70% water. We live without water for up to a month. We can live without food for up to a month without it. But we could only live about 3 days without water. If we lose more than 8% of our body's water, we will die. An adult should drink 8 glasses of water a day, and children need to drink at least 4 cups of water a day to maintain healthy bodies. Over a month, you need at least 7 gallons of fresh, clean water to drink. Water is used in almost every bodily function: digestion, blood circulation, softening the skin, and physical growth. Yes, we are aqua bodies, even if aqua is cold some mornings. Without water, we will die, so we thirst for it when we need it. Human beings are also spiritual bodies. Without God, we will also die. We will dry up and we will waste away. We need God and the healthy soul. We thirst for God. Indeed, the pains of soul thirst should be far greater than the pains of physical thirst. Such a thirst can only be quenched when we trust and we thirst for God and are satisfied with God in our soul. Psalm 63 stands as one of the most poignant expressions of longing and love for God in the Bible. Written by David during a time of great distress, possibly when he was fleeing from Saul and Absalom, the psalm encapsulates the existence of a profound human-divine relationship. It is a declaration of faith, love, and dependence on God, offering us a glimpse into the profound spiritual connection that can exist between us as humans and God as the divine. The psalm opens with a powerful expression of thirst for God. Oh God, you are my God. Earnestly I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh faints for you. And in a dry and weary land, there where there is no water. This imagery of thirst reflects a deep, almost dependent desire for a communion with God. Just as physical thirst drives one to seek out water, so does spiritual thirst drive us towards God. This yearning reflects an innate recognition that true fulfillment comes from relationship with our Creator. David uses the term, my God, denotes a personal and intimate relationship. My God. This is not a distant, impersonal deity he addresses. He says, my God. Like it's a close, loving presence. My God. The psalmist's earnest seeking is a testament to the personal nature of the divine relationship. God is not merely a concept or an abstract force, but a loving, responsive presence that one can ultimately know and love. Do you know the love and presence of God? In verse 2, David reflects on his past expressions of God's greatness. So I have looked upon you in the sanctuary, beholding your power and glory. These experiences are fundamental to his faith and his current yearning for God. They serve as a reminder of God's majesty and his ability to intervene in powerful ways into our human life. This recollection not only strengthens David's faith, but reinforces the sense of awe and worship that characterizes his relationship with God. David continues in verses 3 through 5, because your steadfast love is better than life, better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live in your name. I will lift up my hands. My soul will be satisfied with rich support, emphasizing that God is sustainer and protector in times of need. In the latter part of the psalm, David shifts focus to God's justice. But those who seek to destroy my life shall go down into the depths of the earth. They shall be given over to the power of the sword. They shall be a portion for jackals. This reflects the belief that God is not only a loving and protective presence, but also a righteous judge who upholds justice. For David, the assurance of divine justice provides confidence, reinforces his trust in God, and sovereign control over all circumstances. The psalm concludes with the celebration of God's kinship. But the king shall rejoice in God. All who swear by him shall exalt, for the mouths of liars will be stopped. Here David acknowledges that true joy and victory are found in recognizing and rejoicing in God's reign. This final verse includes the theme of a divine, sovereign, and ultimate triumph of truth and righteousness that God provides. So if we think about our lesson and what I'd like for you to take away from our time together, is that yearning for God, our souls are designed to seek and find fulfillment in God. This deep yearning is a natural and essential part of our spiritual journey. It's part of who we are. It's part of our belief in Jesus as our Savior. Intimacy with God, a personal relationship with God, is characterized by intimacy and earnest seeking of God. God is not distant, but is close and responsive to our prayers. Experience of God's power, recalling past experience of God's power and glory, strengthens our faith and deepens our worship. Satisfaction in God's love. True contentment and joy are found in the steadfast love of God, which surpasses all earthly pleasures. Security in God's presence. God's presence provides comfort and protection, especially in times of vulnerability, times when we need God the most. Dependence on God, clinging to God's significance, trust, God's recognition of our need for God's support and strength. Trust in God's justice. Believe in divine justice. Have confidence and reassurance when you face adversity. Rejoice in God's kinship. Celebrate God's reign. Bring joy and affirmations to others in triumph, in truth, and righteousness. Psalm 63 is a profound meditation of the human-divine relationship. It invites us to reflect on our own spiritual journey, encouraging us to seek, experience, rejoice in the presence and the love of God. Through the psalmist's words, we are reminded of the unwavering support, protection, and fulfillment that come from a deep and intimate relationship with the divine. It's the human-divine relationship. During this season of Lent, let us reflect on our pursuit of this relationship with God, akin to that of David. We seek a connection that bridges human and divine, empowering the bond with God. As we anticipate the events leading up to Christ's crucifixion, betrayal, denial, and the resurrection, let us not hasten through the 40 days. No need to be in a hurry. Instead, let us dedicate this time to deepening our relationship with God, finding solace in the serene quietude of our hearts, experiencing profound love, and celebrating the divine human connection. Amen.